With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are here tonight to recap tonight's episode, eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 7. And this was a great episode, in my opinion. I'm very excited to be here to talk about it and recap it and all the good stuff. With me tonight is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I am also thrilled with this episode. They gave me everything I wanted from an edited episode of Big Brother Canada. They gave me Anthony as the mastermind villain slash heel. He was living for himself in the diary room. I love the way they edited that together. When he was like, I have to go to Kira and make them think that it's their idea, which is exactly what he did on the show. Like, that's not made up. That's really what he did. And then, like, you saw him going like, shrug, you know, that was the Anthony shrug was I was living. And then, like, giving Kira the dodo edit was great because that's how we all view them. You know, the people who watch the feeds. And I was really, really psyched with the show because the show could, like, I saw people on Twitter that were like, so are they going to give Kira all of the credit for this Dane flip? And like, it's their idea. No, they did not. In fact, they totally threw them under the bus. I'm thrilled about it.
Yes, this episode gave me a lot of satisfaction. Very pleased. Yes. Melissa is with me as well. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. I really liked the episodes recently. I remember last season when we were really disappointed with the episodes and didn't feel like they were an accurate reflection of what was really going on. And I feel like they're doing a great job this year. They're doing a million times better. I mean, yesterday's episode and today's episode were both really great episodes and both totally fun to watch. So I've been having a great time this week.
Yes. So this is the big episode where we see the flip happen. We started it with a recap of what had happened up until this point. We had the announcer guy say that ultimately the pretty boys stayed loyal to the soil. So Anthony is getting those terms in there. And we start with Kira being very pleased with themselves that, you know, Dane tried to get them out three times and he failed all three times, but their first try, they're going to take Dane out of the game. And they're very happy about it, Brent.
I mean, does Kira forget that Dane could have evicted them during week two? Like, that was a tie-tie vote. A tie-tie vote. Like, Kira, you could have been out week two, and we would have been better for it in many ways. But oh no, they had to keep you in the flipping house and get rid of Mackie, and who put a plague on the whole house, and that's why this entire season went the way it did. I don't understand why Kira thinks that Dane was trying to get them out. Like, Dane used you as a pawn. Like, let's say, first he put you on the block as a target, and then you ended up being the pawn. But then every time after that, you were definitely the pawn. And if you can't see that, then you don't know what game you're playing, which of course you don't. So whatever.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like just, what was it, last week, Kira was all on board with the Adam Dane final three until what happened in between then and now, Anthony. So I feel like everything that Kira is saying, I can't trust them at all. Because everything that's coming out of their mouth is literally word for word something that Anthony has told Kira to either say or to think or to whatever. And, you know, and that's, I feel like, honestly, that's the same way with Mark during this episode. So it was all, you know, I can't.
Well, and yeah. let's be clear, though. That was the Dane mistake, though, because Dane was the one who told Anthony, OK, I'm going to make a final three with Adam and Kira so that Kira feels more invested in this whole final five thing, because if it's just a final five thing, then they won't feel as invested in it. And he told Anthony that. He did not have to tell Anthony that. He showed his cards a little bit too much. That almost got him evicted this week.
Yeah, it's a dangerous game, but ultimately we do see Dane. He gives his little thing to the cameras where he comes into the room with his face in his hands, and then he goes, "No, crocodile tears. I'm not going anywhere. Kira, you won't know what hit you." And then we see that he has a plan. He needs to make people feel bad for him. And so he has a conversation with Kira where, and this is all out of order, by the way.
Thank you. Because I thought it was all out of order, but I was like, maybe I'm like, when you watch the feeds and then you watch it in flashback, like I do sometimes, like I lose track.
It gets jumbled up.
Like it all gets jumbled up.
Yeah. The order of how this happened is that, Dane had this conversation with Anthony where he pleaded for his life prior to the veto ceremony. And then it was, I believe, after the veto ceremony that that he had the conversation with Kira by the hot tub. And then it was, I believe, a day. You know, it was the same day, I believe, as well that. Man, I can't remember now, but either way, it's all out of order. They're messing with my memory now.
They're messing with me.
But he, in the order of the episode, he goes to Kira first, and Kira's like, "Oh, you're legendary in this game." And he's like, it's fine. It's over. You know, just trying to make them feel bad for him. And then he goes to Dane, he goes to Anthony, and he gives him the big pitch, which is, you know, he needs to convince the best convincer in the whole house to keep him, and he gives this emotional plea. We've talked about it on all of the other podcasts that we've been doing about the feeds. It's a great plea. He mixes strategy with emotional pull, and part of what was not included in it was that he has been working on Anthony, trying to make sure that Anthony realizes that Mark might take Kira over Anthony. And given Mark's reaction to his eviction and his reaction to Anthony's goodbye message, I am prone to believing that is an accurate read, that Mark really was planning on doing that. And so that was in Anthony's head. The fact that Dane was so passionate, was so like, "Hey, I am on your side. I love you. You need me and I need you." It won him over, and he goes to Adam to say, you know, maybe we should be keeping Dane. And this was crazy because we had cheers from the audience during this scene where he's talking about keeping Dane in the house. I don't think we've ever seen, like, I mean, I know we've had audience, you know, reactions in the episode before, but this was nuts.
We know what's going on here. At least I do. This is them trying to put lipstick on a pig. Like, that's exactly what this is. They know that this has been a shit of a season, that these are their boys. They're going to have, like, people are like, this season is going to stand or fall based on the likability of these boys or not. And this season has been terrible up until now. Let's be real. It's been totally boring, totally predictable. It's been predictable up until now in many ways. Let me say this: for a majority of the fan base and a majority of the fans on Twitter, it has been a pretty terrible season, both predictability wise and entertainment wise. And the producers know it. Believe me, they know it. I know people; they know it. So they are stuck with these people, and they realize that they're going to be at the end. And they're like, "How can we make them? We need to make people love them, you know, to root for them." And like, that's why you got this episode tonight with all of the audience cheers edited into it and filtered through. I really feel like that's what they're doing here.
I see. I don't think this is putting lipstick on a pig. I think this is like, the Princess and the Frog or something, like, the frog turns into a, I never actually watched the movie. but the season that everyone thought was dead was bad. I think it genuinely is great. And I think that this, the finish here, I think this is genuinely great. And I think that the cheers for that scene were Great. I loved it. I don't like when they insert fake booing noises. I do like when they insert genuine applause that the house guests can't hear. I like that. I kind of enjoyed that.
I was totally fine with that. Yeah, I like seeing the audience that's in-house react to what's going on, because that's what it was like when we were there. When we went to see the Big Brother Canada episode tape live, like, we were around all these people and they're booing and hissing and cheering and at various times. And it was very, very... like, it heightened the experience for me. So, yeah, if nothing else, at least it gave us that.
It gave me the feeling of being at, like, a live know-it-alls or being at a taping itself and feeling the energy, because it's like this is exciting. This is a ridiculous move that Dane pulled off and then that Anthony pulls off. And this should be a magical moment for the history of the show. This is what the Johnny saving himself last season episode should have been, right? But you know, we didn't get it last season. We did this season, and I'm very, very happy for it. So Dane is able to pull Anthony to his side. Then we get the Anthony and Dane scene. Oh, we did get a weird Dane scene in the middle. I guess they needed to build Dane up even more to make him even more like rootable in this episode, but they gave this like,
lame.
Yeah, that was lame.
I was playing hockey and I was too short. Melissa, you're not into this?
No, not at all. I hate that. Like, I mean, okay, look, if there's like nothing going on in an episode, I'm fine with that sort of filler just to like get to know the people more, especially like in the beginning of the game when you don't really know everyone. You're trying to figure out, okay, I like this person, I don't like this person. But we are way too late in the game for that. Everyone already knows and has their own opinion about Dane and Anthony and Adam, and anything that you like, you know, ramrod into the episode is not going to help. And also the fact that so much was going on during the feeds, it was not a boring time. There could have been a lot of other things put in there rather than this non sequitur hockey segment. I just felt like I was like totally out of place. And
very random.
It was totally random. And I wanted to know more about, you know what I really wanted more of? I wanted more DRs. And I do feel like, for the most part, I like that Big Brother Canada kind of just lets things play out and they don't constantly have these DRs of like, you know, yeah, we already get it. You don't need to explain the comp like 500 times. You don't need to like explain what you're doing. Like, I got to go talk to so-and-so because if I lose this veto, I'm dead. Like that sort of stuff. That's boring. But I feel like Big Brother Canada in certain places could insert some more DRs in there, because I feel like I didn't fully get everyone's perspective on things. Like, I wish I had heard a little more Mark, maybe. Like,
we didn't get Anthony's perspective. I didn't get Anthony's perspective. All we got, like, to hear Big Brother Canada tell, this is my one quibble with the episode, we got Anthony reacting to Mark, where Mark is like, well, I wouldn't vote for you if I was in the jury. I'd vote for Adam. Which, like, if you think about it, that's a reason for Anthony not to put him on the jury. If he's going to vote for Adam on the jury, like, why would you want to evict him? Like, because you got your feelings hurt? Like, Anthony's smarter than that. That's not why he changed his mind. That had nothing to do with it. It was all about whether Mark was going to be loyal to Anthony and take Anthony forward and not Kira. That's the real tea. And they missed that this episode. So,
I also wanted a DR after Anthony talked to Dane and he's got his head in his hands. And I kind of wanted to hear, because, like, at the time, Anthony hadn't been talking for like 8 minutes during that segment when Dane was giving him his spiel. And I had hoped that the DR segment would, from Anthony and Dane at that point in time, would allow me to understand, like, okay, this is what he's thinking. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying is true. Like, this part of what he's saying is true. This part is false. This part he knows will get to Anthony, or, you know, stuff like that. So just so I could understand what they were feeling a little bit more during that time, since there really wasn't a lot spoken.
Yes. So that scene with Anthony and Mark was well after the decision to keep Dane. I believe it was almost 2 days after. So it definitely did not have an influence on Anthony's decision to keep Dane. But he did use it as a reason with Mark just today on the feeds. I would have preferred, obviously, to hear from Dane about, like, how much of that pitch was genuine,
right,
and how much of it was fake. I am of the opinion that it was genuine. I think that he will take Anthony, although he'd better start thinking about that decision if he wants to win the game. But I would have liked to have heard a little bit from Dane about that, that instead of hearing about, you know, his hockey days.
I agree.
But what are you going to do? The one fault of the episode that I was otherwise, I think, really fantastic.
So I have a question. And we have, to my mind, we have not gotten the answer to this. Anthony is leaning on, well, I'm going to be loyal to the soil. It's all about the pretty boys for me. It's all about PB to me. It's not about strategy. I don't need your comp winning ability. I don't need your puzzles. I don't need that. But I always felt like that was the reason why he's keeping him. Like, if Anthony is really just keeping Dane because of PB and loyalty and being loyal to the soil, like, I'm regretting the 10 that I gave him last week, because you have to be a self-interested player. This is what I'm knocking Adam for, like being too loyal to this idea of the pretty boys winning rather than you winning him yourself. So, Taryn, what do you think?
Here's what I think about Anthony. I think that Anthony is the kind of guy that will always push the singular idea. And so Anthony's singular idea this season has been loyalty. He knows he can't win a competition. He knows he's relying on not only people taking him to the end, but people being loyal enough to take him to the end, because it's hard for him to even pretend that he wouldn't have a good chance of winning, because that goes against his whole persona. And what makes him so effective is his whole persona. So the way that Anthony gets to the end, and how I think he recognizes this, is people need to be more loyal to him than their own self-interests. And so that happens to coincide with his number one value, loyalty. I think that that is not a coincidence. I think that he said it to Mark in his goodbye message. Unfortunately, I couldn't trust that you wouldn't cut me more than I could trust, that Dane wouldn't cut me. And I think that's what the bottom line is. But Anthony pushes the who has been most loyal to me line more, because that's what's most convenient to him. And I think that there's a part of him that does believe in that too, like loyalty means so much to him. But I think that loyalty, again, means so much to him because loyalty benefits him more than anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, all right, well, that makes sense then, because I was wondering, like, what's the real deal here, and Anthony, why are you doing what you're doing? Because, like, to me, what's been great about Anthony all season long is that, to me, he's been the most self-interested player. I feel like, I mean, maybe you could say Dane was too, because Dane's often said to the cameras, you know, I'm winning this game, I'm winning $100,000. But I've never really heard that from anybody else, like Mark a little bit, but I never really believe Mark in various ways. I don't know, maybe I did at various points of the season, but for the most part, I did not. But Anthony, to me, has always been the one with his eyes on the prize. So to hear him talk about pretty boys and, you know, being loyal to the soil, like, that is, it's a little hard on my heart, because I'm like, I don't want you to be that way. But on the other hand, listening to Taryn, I am convinced that that is your way to the end. And in the back of my head, I know that. I just hadn't put two and two together.
Yeah. And I think it's also telling that as he says this, he also has a final two with Adam, and he also has a final two with Kira, and he also had a final two with Mark. So.
Yeah.
Right. I think actions speak louder than words in this one.
He's just setting himself up for a perfect scenario, or he's trying to set himself up for a perfect scenario where everybody takes him to the end, because he doesn't think he'll win the final competition, which is probably true. And if everyone else who's there is planning on taking him to the finals, then he already knows he's going to be sitting there. And I feel like at this point, that's his entire plan, because he knows that he's so good with his words that he assumes that he'll be able to convince everyone just with his speeches, and that no one else will be able to do that. I mean, if you look at it from his perspective, you've got Kira, Dane, and Adam, and he's like, these guys can't hold a candle to me in terms of my speaking ability and my ability. I mean, you look at Dane, we know that he's good at convincing people of things, because he literally just convinced Anthony to keep him. But you look at him and you're like, this guy's a dum-dum, and there's no way he can compete against Anthony at the end. That's what Anthony, I think, is thinking.
Yes. And I have seen people say, like, oh, you know, Dane manipulated Anthony into keeping him, and then Anthony manipulated Kira. And I would probably disagree with the characterization of that. I think that Dane convinced Anthony to keep him, and I think there's a difference between that and manipulated, because I think that Dane convinced Anthony of the truth that Dane will take Anthony to the end, whereas what Anthony does to Kira in this next segment is straight up manipulation, convincing Kira to do something that is not true, that is not good, and completely against their own self-interest. We finally get this, because the last two episodes, Kira's been talking about, hey, I'm doing all this by myself. And there's a little bit of a hint of like, hey, Anthony was doing it, but nothing direct from the episode telling the audience that Anthony is in charge of this, which he was. But finally, we get Anthony in the diary room say, no problem. Now I just have to get Kira to think it's their idea. And then perfect little conversation where he talks about, and this was set up perfectly. I love how they did this. They brought back the rhyme that they had introduced previously. This is why sometimes those little details can matter, because what a bookend to that storyline of Mark that Anthony now uses that very thing that probably a lot of the audience found very, impressive to work against him in this conversation with you. Hey, he has a rhyme. And it is unbelievable.
Well, that's the overselling of the century. Wow. I mean, like, this is terrible. Like, Mark was not throwing any competitions that I know of, at least not in the second half of the season. And that little rhyme song, whatever he has, rap, whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry. I don't put any stock in it whatsoever. Like, if he was in this HOH competition, we saw the first two questions of, like, he'd still be singing while everybody else already buzzed in. Like,
he has way too many, like, little random things in there, like non sequitur things that don't matter to the rhyme and don't matter to the stats. Cause he's like, we were all feeling gorgeous and it was unanimous or whatever, like he said. And it's like, you don't need to have that first part in there. Just say unanimous. Like, he's like, day 20 feeling gorgeous and it was unanimous. It's like, you don't need all that. That's so many extra words.
And this was so well edited. I like the way that Anthony pitched it was like a twist in a movie. Like, you know how he's always pacing back and forth, muttering to himself. That's not just him being crazy. That's him practicing the rhyme. It's like, oh, it all makes sense. We should have seen it all along.
It's a big twist. Yes. The big reveal.
And then Kira says, so why aren't we taking Mark out of the game? And they cut to Anthony. Giving the shrug.
That was so good. So taking good. A page out of so Derek Levasseur's book, because that is classic BB16 Derek, where you convince them that it's their idea, even though it was your idea all along, and that you're just willing to go with it. You're willing to go with whatever they want. It's genius. It's great.
Yeah, I said a long time ago, I felt like Anthony was playing a baby Derek game. And if Dane takes, I almost said Derek, Anthony to the end and loses to him. Hey, it's pretty close.
Very impressive.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So Kira gets on board after all of their bluster. they had said to Dane, hey, why don't we make it a tie vote so that I can send you home? Wouldn't that be poetic? And Dane is like, excuse me? No way. I'm not giving you the satisfaction of that. Definitely, I'm not giving them that satisfaction. oh boy. Lord. For an episode that Dane looked really good in, this was a low point.
I think it's like we've talked about this before. It's the JT of it all. It's the the guy who actually is pretty smart, but he sounds a little bit dumb at times, which is why people don't take him seriously as they probably should. So, you know, I don't know. It's working for him so far. And I see a lot of people who are rooting for Dane. I see a lot of people rooting for Adam. I don't see as many people rooting for Anthony. And I have to tell you that really bugs me. I see many people in the chat who are like, I don't want Anthony to win. And I'm like, how can you not want Anthony to win? And I do, I do tend to veer more towards the Anthony of it all. So I get that I'm biased, but I don't understand why more people aren't on board with this. We don't get this kind of character on reality TV very often. As I've said many times in the past, whenever they cast a minority male on the show, I'm talking reality TV in general, not necessarily Big Brother Canada, it's usually the Bible-toting black man or the gay black man. It's very rarely the black alpha. It's just, we just don't get that character very often. So to get this sort of character on the show, like,
so good though. I mean, we had
so refreshing
Devin.
To me.
We had Devin. He was an alpha, but he was a clown. He was not a mastermind like Anthony is.
Anthony is so good.
Impressive.
He's just such a great, he's so great at the heel edit. He's so great at that, you know, like really like he knows who he is and he's living for it. And I just don't get, like, I feel like if Anthony wins this season, I do feel like that more people later on down the line will look at him like he's a freaking god. Like oh my God, that was so great. Same way they did with Dr. Will, like early on where it's like, you know, wasn't much to look at when he won. But then after the fact, it's like, wow, that was really impressive. Unless you're listening to the BB5 or BB3, BB2 documentary where Mark, Rob and Taryn were a little poo-pooing a little bit on Will's game.
Whoa. It's very impressive. You have to listen. It's very nuanced.
Yeah, very, very nuanced. I'm overstating a little bit. But anyways, like I'm saying, you guys, like, for real, like I really, I'm a fan of the show. I was just talking with Bloomberg on the line about Survivor, and he was like, he was getting on me about the way I feel. And I'm like, I'm a fan of the show. And somebody said, I can't remember who it was. I wish I could give you credit. But sometimes people forget that fan is short for fanatical or, you know, like crazy maniac. And
this
I feel
how
like
Brent
this
defenses.
This is how I watch the show. And so like I'm like, I feel like that, I feel like most people are like me. Like they have their people that they root for, people that they don't. But I'm just asking you to, even if you can't stand Anthony, to really appreciate what you're getting. Because we don't get this kind of character very often. I'm so glad that they cast him on the show.
This, Brent, this is what makes you unique, because you are a fanatical fan. But you, the way you defend being that kind of fan is, well, the Webster Dictionary version of fan actually comes from the origin term fanatical. I think that's the unique combination that makes you special, Brent.
Thank you. Oh, I'm special. Oh, wow.
Like, thanks.
It was a compliment.
Okay,
I'm completely on board. Like, there's four people left in the house. I have everyone left in the house on my draft team except for Anthony, but I'm pulling for an Anthony win. I am. I think that he would be the best winner of all of them. And like, yes, he has been condescending. Yes, he has been a jerk. But he has played this game, so well. He would be a top tier winner like none that we have seen in a very long time. And not only was he not aided by a twist, he was hurt by a twist and came back. Yep. So I would be very, very pleased with an Anthony win. And I think we're looking at one, to be honest. But we will get to that. So Kira has been convinced by Anthony that it's their idea, that they want to keep Dane in the house. And then we get another thing that I love from this episode, which is the last minute edit, just earlier today, we had some scrambling, which was great because we did have some scrambling. And I genuinely, from this, we didn't see what convinced me that there might be a switch up here from the scrambling, but we still saw some enough of it that, like, it's theoretically totally possible that there could be a switch up from, you know, Kira's telling Mark about, you know, hey, not going to keep you here. And Mark is like, why? You said my name. I didn't say your name. Somebody's lying to you. And then we get all this back and forth, and we get Mark running to Anthony. Being
oh my
like,
God.
That was hard to watch.
What do I do?
That was so hard to watch.
I think Anthony handled that so well, because he comes to you and he's like, what's going on? You're not voting me out, are you? And I think Anthony handled it so well, especially when Mark is like, what do I say to her? And I think he still did the whole coaching thing. I feel like if I was in that position, I don't know if I'd be able to play it off that well. I think I might have been like,
I was scared he was going to get caught. I thought Anthony was going to get caught because
I thought he was going to get caught too. Yeah.
Let's pull an Anthony right now. Let's talk to him together.
I know, right? Yeah, I was like glad that didn't happen because I felt like he was going to get caught. By the way, just FYI, a little behind the scenes, my sleep cycle is usually off because I work nights. I talked to Taryn earlier today on the phone, and I like slept up until like, I don't know, 4 o'clock. And we were talking about some stuff behind the scenes about the show tonight, and we were like, he was like, there's a chance that Mark might stay, and I'm like, I thought he was just like screwing with me, but then he was like, no. Like, I'm like, well, what happened? Because I was sleeping for like the past 4 hours. He's like, no, like, I think that like Anthony was listening and Mark was doing his thing and Anthony was just listening. And then they cut the feet. So, I was like, damn, like Mark might actually stay. So I'm glad that they included it. I am very taken though with Stina's tweet. She retweeted your tweet and then added something to it by saying, and this is an indictment of Mark, where she said that was the only campaigning he did all week long. So that's all they had to show for Mark campaigning this week was what he did earlier today.
Yeah.
Well, that's
comfortable.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that for a while now, ever since the first, no, ever since the Mark HOH, when Mark tried to start getting closer to Corey, and he was asking for Anthony's advice, he has been taking Anthony's advice. And he has been doing what Anthony says because Anthony, he knows that Anthony controls other people. And so Anthony is able to set things up that Mark is able to say just the right thing. For somebody like Mark, who often says the wrong thing, that must feel very powerful that he's saying the right things to people. He's making things happen. And it's because Anthony is helping him out. And so he has been relying more and more on Anthony and to tell him what to say in all scenarios. And so all week long, he's been like, Anthony, should I be campaigning? What should I be doing? And Anthony's like, don't do anything. And this is it's hard to watch. He goes to Anthony. He's like, what do I say? And he's like a puppy looking to his master, like master, what do I do? And Anthony's just like, you just walk right into the blades, right into the blades, Mark. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And then he gets torn to pieces. It's sad. It's like, there's something sacred about that relationship that it just feels like it's been torn asunder.
It reminds me of, I tweeted about this, but it reminds me of that scene in 30 Rock where Jack Donaghy has to negotiate versus himself because it's too much effort because Liz Lemon's trying to negotiate with him. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to handle this. I'm going to take it from both sides. And it felt like that with Anthony, where it was like people were coming to him like they both were fighting over who got to talk to Anthony first. And then each one was like, okay, what do I say? What do I say to the other? And then it was like, just cut all this BS out of the way and put Anthony in a room and just have him do the discussion himself, because that's really what's happening right now. It was literally just one person going and be like, okay, what do I say? And then going back to them and just saying what it is. And it's just,
That could have been half the season, is just Anthony sitting in a room doing the various conversations.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what it felt like. It was like, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to say this to them. You're going to say this exactly, this little spiel, and then you're going to go back to them. Then they go do that. And then the person's like, well, one second, really quick. It's, it's like one of those shows where the person's dating two people at the same time and they have to run from room to room. And they're like, oh, one second, I got to go to the bathroom. And then they run to the other room. Great. That's literally what it felt like.
But it would be like if they were dating those two people and then also trying to set those two people up on a date together and telling them what to say at the same time. So Mark, he does what Anthony says. He goes to Kira. He says, hey, you need me to take out Adam. And then Kira had been convinced. There were other conversations with Mark where Kira did go to Anthony like, what am I doing? Why am I taking out Mark? He's my best chance to win in the end. He can beat Adam too. Like, I think this might be a mistake. And Anthony had to talk them off the ledge again. But he did. He got them back on board. Hey, this is the biggest move all season. You're going to be so respected. You're a Hall of Famer, stuff like that. And then Mark came in. Mark was like, dude, what's happening here? Like, am I really going to go home? Is it going to be a tie vote? Are you going to give me your vote? Is it Kira's not changing their mind? And Anthony was like, yeah, Kira's not going to change their mind. And Mark is like, come on. I know that what you want is what's going to happen. I know that you can change it if you want to. And Anthony then pulled out the, like, hey, you told me that you would vote for Adam over me card. And he was like, no, I took that back immediately. I didn't mean it. I was just like heated in the moment. I am a vote for you, Anthony, no matter what. I will go to that jury house and I will tell them everything that you did. Like, I am 100% a vote for you, Anthony. And then we saw Mark do something similar to what we saw Adam and Dane do. It was just a few days too late. And I did feel like at the time he was making some progress. Like, man, I've been with you for so long. He was making some mistakes. Like, for instance, you know that they're just going to take Kira to the end. That's what everyone's going to do, which is like very telling. That's not what Anthony wants to hear. But he was talking about how loyal he was to Anthony. And Anthony was doing the same thing he was doing in the Dane conversation. He was sitting there, he was putting his head in his hands, he was starting to think, he was starting to act like, hey, I'm not sure. And then production said, house guests, please go to the living room. And Mark had to cut it short. He's like, you know what I mean, though, right? And then feeds cut for the rest of the day. And so he wasn't doing as good as Dane had been doing, but he was making some progress, I think. And who knows what could have come of it if he had had more time, but he didn't.
Just
and,
a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dane was correct, because I think there was a scene I saw where Dane was talking to Anthony. Maybe it was Monday night or something, or maybe Monday night or Tuesday morning, where he was like, you know, I'm going to tell Mark man to man, like, what's up. And he's like, you know, yeah, that's cool. He's like, so, what are you going to tell him, like, Thursday? He's like, yeah. You know, Thursday, maybe Wednesday. It's like, okay. Well, I'd definitely go with Thursday. I'm just, just thinking out loud here. You know, he might run the Kira, might, you know, blow something up, blah, 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 blah. So Dane was like, yeah, must be Thursday. Good job on that, Dane.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I honestly, though, I did like the way that Mark went out. I thought that he went out respectfully and was like, you know, good game, whatever. He's not bitter, blah, blah, blah. But then he also threw a wrench into the game. And I kind of like that. I kind of like going out with some little bit of fire, but also in a respectful way. So I was a fan of that. I feel like I don't like the exits where they're super pissed off and yelling and, you know, cussing people out. I'm not a huge fan of that, even though it does have a lot of drama. But I do like the idea of, like, if you're going to go out, you might as well reveal some stuff if you're upset. So I liked it.
Yes. So we get to the eviction and Mark is evicted by a 2-1 vote. As soon as he hears 2, he knows it's him. He gets up. He's very respectful. And as Melissa says, on his way out the door. And it didn't feel bitter. It didn't feel like, oh, Dane, you screwed me over, so I'm going to try and screw you over. It was just like,
by the way.
Yeah.
Hey. It was mischief. Let me just throw
a little bomb into the mix here. Maybe a little bit of a plague into the mix here.
I loved Adam's reaction too, where he's just like, you just have the cameras like zooming in on his face and he's just sitting there like, what? And you're watching the reveal, you know, you're watching the revelation, it sets in and you're just like, oh God, what's going to happen now?
I know there was like legitimate, like good reaction from Adam in that moment too. So really enjoyed that. And then, you know, the biggest thing to hear from the exit interview with Mark is he says, I really hope Anthony takes the win. You know, I want him to win. That is massive, in my opinion. That is massive. We had a jury segment, which we'll talk about in more detail in just a second, but they don't know. They know about the Pretty Boys, right? They know some of what happened. They know the basic outline of what was happening during the season. They don't know the details. They don't know what happened behind closed doors. Mark knows it all. Mark knows so much more than them. And whether or not they respect Mark, whether or not they listen to Mark, whether or not they feel like they're going to be influenced by Mark, he has information that they want and need. And his information is going to have Anthony stamped all over it. Mm-hmm. So whether they want to be influenced by him or not, they are going to be influenced by him in one way or another, and it's very likely going to be pro Anthony. His vote alone was massive for Anthony, but also his influence could be very important as well. So I think Anthony has Mark. He has Corey. I think he also has Kira. That's three fairly locked votes. He only needs one more. Damien was pretty upset at Dane. Esty left the house not super happy with Adam. Those are two people that could easily go toward Anthony. If Dane cuts Adam and takes Anthony, or if Adam cuts Dane and takes Anthony, I think Anthony gets either Adam or Dane, whichever one cut the other. And that's four right there, too. So I really am starting to feel like Anthony has this on lock. And I think that his biggest spoiler is if Adam ends up winning the final three HOH and taking Dane instead of Anthony, which yep. I think also took a little bit of a hit tonight when Mark revealed that information about Sam. So things are looking real up for Anthony, in my opinion, Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that another thing that could throw a wrench in that, as I saw, there's another jury video. It's longer. It's a jury segment where they're talking about, they're talking through what they think they know and what they don't know, or, you know, what is talking about what happened in the game. And it's like a fact checker or something. And then the video kind of like gives a check mark or an X, depending on if they're right or not. And according to them, you know, they were kind of going through, okay, this is the pretty boys. These people are in it. They wanted to get closer with the girls, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things they said, though, was that they thought the pretty boys are Anthony, Dane, and Adam. And they said they think that Mark joined last week, or that Mark joined maybe a little bit earlier than that because they wanted to bring him in. And I think that that could pose a problem, because Mark could come in being like, I was part of the pretty boys. And then they're going to be like, OK, but you weren't really part of the pretty boys, though. Like, you were brought in later. And then he's going to say, no, I swear I've been part of it this whole time. And then it's possible that they're going to be like, okay, they made you think that you were part of it, just like they made us think we were part of it. Like, they made us think we were part of their alliance, but really we weren't. And just like Mark, okay, Mark, like, you were the same as us. And I don't know if they're going to believe him.
I mean, he'll have details about, like, day one, we got together, we put our fists in the middle, like, we came up with the name Pretty Boys. It might have even been Mark that came up with the name himself. I can't remember exactly, but
I don't know.
I mean, it's totally possible, but I do think that there might be that element of, like, he wasn't fully involved, so all the information he's getting isn't completely accurate. So we can't fully trust what he's saying.
Maybe that'll
change when the next Pretty Boy goes out, but, you know.
I agree. Well, the thing is that the next pretty boy might not go out. I mean, I think what's likely to happen is that Kira goes out here at four. And then if that happens, then there's not going to be another pretty boy in the jury until finale night. Like, and then they don't get time to really talk with them. So, like, that's a problem.
And Kira will back up that Mark was a part of it the whole time, too.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't even know if I really care whether or not Mark's going to help or hurt Anthony. He's a vote for Anthony. Corey's a vote for Anthony. I think Kira's a vote for Anthony. So it only needs one more. I don't understand the people that are on Twitter who are like, you know, I think Anthony's got one vote and that's it. Girl, stop. Like, stop. Like, wait, are you even listening to yourself right now? I realize many of you do not like Anthony, but you're not taking him seriously. And like, some of the jury video that I saw that was more heavily edited toward Mark and Dane, I don't believe anything that they show us half the time, because half the time they're showing us what they want to show us, not what's really going on in the jury house. Especially people who are loyal to certain people, they try to downplay that to make it build more suspense. I still go back to Big Brother Canada 4, where we thought, you know, things were like this is going to happen, and it was just bull hockey. It was not true. It was simply not true. So he's got three locked votes. We know that he's got three locked votes. And if he gets a fourth, it doesn't matter what else happens. And I also really think that this whole, like, oh, but Mark's going to be like Bruno and Bobby from Big Brother Canada 3, where they go to jury and they really try to oversell Godfrey winning the game and everyone recoils at that and then consequently votes for Sarah. I share Taryn's opinion that I don't think that jury was ever going to vote for Godfrey. I don't care if, like, they literally brought the Bible in and swore on it or something. There was no way they were going to vote for Godfrey. He needed to have a little bit more credibility within that game. Although he has a fair argument to win the game, I'm not saying that he didn't. But from what they knew, they didn't know many of the things that was happening.
And
so Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference because in the Big Brother Canada 3 house, they weren't starving for information. They weren't like trying to figure out what happened in the game. They were like, no, we know what happened in the game. Why are you trying to tell us extra stuff that isn't true? Whereas this one, they're going to be like, Mark, tell us what was going on there. And there are people in the chat like, RHAP, they thought Tyler was a lock. No, we didn't. Since when? I remember being like, I have no idea. I leaned toward Tyler.
We were saying he should have won.
I know for myself, at the very least, I was like, I mean, if he takes Casey, I think it's going to be close. I think he wins, but I really don't feel confident in it. Come on. Let's not have some revisionist podcast history.
We have been more right than wrong. I still remember Big Brother 19. Where like a week before, maybe 5 days before, I started talking with Taryn off show, and he was like, I really think that Josh could win. And I'm like, no way. We're like, really? He's like, yeah, I think so. And we started counting the votes, and we're like, man, there is a way that that Paul could lose the game. So, we're not always like smoking whatever we've got. Come on.
Yeah. People. And I also called Nicole saying that one too.
Yeah.
So. I freely admit I got it wrong. I did say I'm gonna guess Tyler, but it was a guess, and I made it clear it was a guess. I thought it was up in the air, and it was one vote. It was very close.
One vote.
But this one I feel a lot more confident, and that's why I'm trying to bring up this distinction. I really feel like Anthony has a really great shot at this. I think that he has locked votes where some of these other players do not have locked votes. I think that Dane probably has Esty locked. I think that Sam in the jury house for right now has been very, very pro Dane, but it's pro Dane out of respect. I think there's always been a rivalry there, and I think that she might be prone to hearing like, oh, Dane isn't that great. Somebody got the better of Dane. I think that might be an appealing idea to her. So I don't even think that she is a locked vote for Dane. I don't think Adam's a locked vote for Dane if Dane cuts Adam at the final three. So I don't see the locked votes for Dane in the same way that I do for Anthony. And then with Adam, I think that he has Sam locked, and that's it. I don't think he even has Kira. Kira hates him at this point. So I really feel like Anthony has a big leg up. Obviously, there's still game to be played, subject to change. But right now, I do feel like Anthony has a big advantage heading into the jury vote.
One of our chatters, CRFO, says, I really am not convinced that the jury will see what Anthony is doing. That's probably my biggest issue, is that, he hasn't won many comps, just the one, and he may yet win something, but up until now, he's only won one competition while these other people have run circles around him. In the 45 seconds that he gets to talk to the jury, plus the questions, how much do we think that he can really say anything? If we're not depending on that, then we're depending on Mark and Kira.
I think two of his votes are his votes because almost because they don't see everything that he did. I think Kira and Corey are votes without knowing everything that Anthony did, or with knowing everything that Anthony did. And then he's got Mark, who does know everything that he did because Mark was by his side. And then I think also people like Adam or Dane, they have both Adam, Dane and Mark have all told Anthony, you are a monster in this game. You are one of the best, I think, that we have ever seen on the show. They all definitely see Anthony for what he's done in the game. I think Mark is going to go to the jury house and talk about that. Whether they listen to him or not is one thing. But I think that if Adam or Dane are cut in the end, I think that they will be saying it in the questioning. Anthony, you were one of the best I've ever seen play this game. Trying to let the other jurors know what's going on. But I think that Anthony wins regardless of whether they see it or not, because I think that his three locked votes right now are because of his personal connections rather than the respect for his game. It's the respect for his game that might win him some other votes as well.
Excellent. I was just listening to the chat. Apparently, Arissa said that it's a 2-hour finale. Is it always a 2-hour finale? I felt like sometimes it's just an hour and a half. Or maybe that's BBUS. I don't know.
I feel like it's usually 2 hours, but.
Okay. Well, the chat's saying that she said that it's a 2-hour finale. So that'll be good. I appreciate that. Maybe somebody in the chat, I think it was Adam, said, can he yell in the final two?
Oh, and he can yell.
I'd be able to yell.
He can also sit and whisper.
Yeah. Wow, so, very impressive.
Yeah. Very big dynamic range there.
Very versatile.
So I would like
if
to
he quit. Sits down during the final pleas and is like, I'm gonna sit so that I don't intimidate anyone. I will just die.
I would die.
And still win? Like that's yeah. How Dr. Will did it.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So I just want to give a little bit of obituary about Mark. This is a guy who I had high hopes for Mark coming into the game. I thought he was knowledgeable. He seemed like he knew what he was doing. He was a little awkward. Even I could even tell that he was awkward from his video when he was talking to Aika and then, you know, obviously with the producers. But he tried his ass off, got a little lucky. Like, I feel like if, you know, Damien is not voted in with that twist and Damien goes in the house first and Mark is in the third group. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Mark ends up in the Pretty Boys. But he did. That's you know, the people who, as Rob say it, like the victors get to tell the story or whatever. Like he made it to the end of the game, or at least to the final five, based on his relationship with the Pretty Boys. That's why, you know, front, middle, and center. That's why he made it to the end as well as he did, because it sure wasn't his social game that got him to the end. It was his alliance and his relationships with the Pretty Boys. I felt like he handled them okay. Ironically, in the end, it was his awkwardness and his sort of untrustworthiness that I feel like ended up getting him evicted, because Anthony was able to buy that Mark was plotting to take Kira to the end of the game. And, you know, the little things he said here and there just really caught up with him. The thing about Kevin Martin, how Kevin Martin's his favorite player, like, and Kevin, you know, sneakily took Karen to the end. Of course, then never mind that everybody else wanted to evict him, but they don't know that part. All they know is that Karen took the old lady to the end. So they're like, we don't want that to happen this time. I feel like Mark overall played as well as he could probably play. Given the kind of player that he is, I feel like fifth place is probably the best you can ask for a guy like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's ironically the fact that Mark was in some ways the most self-interested, the most like conventionally thinking player in this alliance. He really was, and still is to some extent, I think, under the assumption that obviously everyone's just going to take Kira to the end. That's how Big Brother works, but that's not how this alliance works. And he couldn't read that. And that is a large part of what got him evicted in this spot. I do like that he recognized his failure in his HOH week, where he said, I should have nominated Dane and Esty and then threw Adam up as the back door. That could have worked. And yeah, that could have worked. That would have been a better idea.
I felt like that was an interesting question from Arista, because at least he acknowledged what we acknowledged watching the feeds was that it was fairly problematic to try to get Dane out of the house that week. Like, I mean, like, even if you get him up on the block, who do you put him next to where you can get rid of him? It's very hard to thread that needle. So I guess maybe you could go after him for the fact that he had his sights so set on Dane that he wanted Dane out of the house. Of course, I know Adam ended up winning the veto, but Adam only ended up winning the veto because he was on the block. We don't know if his name would have come out of the bag if he was not on the block. So who knows? I don't know. But
and honestly,
what could have been?
Even if he had succeeded in getting Dane out of the house, where does he go from there? He was right. Like, the Pretty Boys had such a stranglehold on the game that even one of their own found it very difficult to break them apart without completely trashing his own game. And so it really would have been tough. And you know, I'm glad that he at least recognizes that there were other options that maybe he could have tried that would have been more effective. There you go.
There you go. Well, Taryn, unless there's anything else we want to talk about, we apparently do have a new head of household.
We do, yes. So it's time to get to the spoilers. But first, I want to say that, you know, we've got, of course, a live feed update tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Sunday night, we will be live to recap the Sunday night episode of Big Brother 27.
We can announce it.
Yes.
Yes, Karen. She has confirmed with me. Karen, yes, my girl Karen from Big Brother Canada 5. Don't tell her I called her an old lady. That's not true at all. I'm talking about the way the boys view her, not how I view her. So don't get me in trouble.
Karen, she knows all about being taken to the final two.
She will be on the show on Sunday night. We asked her what she wanted Thursday or Sunday. She's going to be on Sunday night, so look for her then. I will be also on the show with Karen, and we are going to have a great time talking about the season of Big Brother Canada.
Yes. And 1 week from tonight will be the Big Brother Canada 7 finale. And
that's so crazy. It's yes, coming up.
And I can tell you that I will be in Toronto for the finale. I will be there at the taping, and I will get a chance to talk with the final three in person on Friday during the press day. So that should be very, very fun. I'll be able to tell you all of the details about what happened at the taping. And we'll get some in-person interviews the next day. It should be a lot of fun. I want to thank the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast for, making things like this possible. They truly are the backbone of the whole show, the whole podcast, the whole thing. So thank you to those guys, and very excited to be heading to Toronto here for the finale. It's going to be fun.
So what does that mean for the podcast?
That means that he will be, well, remember, it's a taped finale. So yes, just FYI, avoid spoilers. Like, if you don't want to know what happens at the finale and you want to watch it live, avoid spoilers. Maybe make sure you mute your social media on Thursday. But Taryn will be running back to the hotel after he goes to the taped finale. You probably won't need to run because it'll be like a couple hours later. So
yes,
you're going to go back to your hotel and do the podcast with us right after the finale. You're going to be able to give us tidbits. I am so happy for you, Taryn. They asked Taryn. They invited Taryn. It wasn't like he had to go begging at their doorstep. They invited him.
Wow.
To come to the finale. So
a member of the press.
We will look for you there.
Yes,
I want you to have the hat with the word press in it. That
would be a little notepad.
Yeah. Well, I'll put some glasses on.
Yeah,
I'll have my camera. So yeah, it'll be great.
And then do a big giant flashbulb and then be like, what do you say about this, huh?
All right. Well, I'm very excited for that. I hope you guys enjoy the content that I'm able to bring you from Toronto. That's what we have for you from the episode. We're going to get into the spoilers now. You can follow me on Twitch you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. If you want to find me there, I do live streams about shows and stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find Brent at One Lucky Guy, and Melissa is at It's Melissa with three A's. And now we will get into the spoilers. Now, We got spoilers. I've been talking about how if Adam wins the next two competitions, he will tie Janelle's record of 9 wins out of 15 competitions, with the exact same number of competitors beaten, 48 competitors that they won against in competitions. However, he did not win this competition,
womp womp,
and will not tie the record. He, even if he wins the next two, he will have a slightly lower percentage than Janelle did. Not going to touch the Janelle record, but we do have a winner of this competition, and that winner is Dane.
Yep.
Dane is HOH, so Dane is going to the final three. He will be there on finale night. He will not be evicted at the final four. Either Adam, Anthony, or Kira will be evicted this round. I have to say that this is bad news if you're an Adam fan. He's got to, and look, I'm just telling you guys what I think. Now, Taryn may disagree with me on this, but if you finally have Adam dead to rights, and he's sitting on the block on eviction night, and he's up there, I feel like you have to evict him. You have to evict him if you're Anthony or Dane. You have to evict him.
I feel like Adam has to win the veto. He's got to win the veto.
Yep. Got to win the veto for Pikes.
I will say, I think that that is probably the right move, but I think that they won't evict him. I think that Dane will keep Adam. I think that Anthony will also keep Adam. They could change their mind, but Dane, even to himself, was talking last week about how he does not want Kira anywhere near the final three. He wants them out at final four. That's what he promised Anthony. That's what Anthony said he wanted.
And I hope that's the case, because an Anthony, Dane, and Adam final three would be like maybe one of the best final threes we've ever seen. I just feel like it's so impressive. Everyone is good in their own way.
Yes, that's true. I also think, though, that Anthony can keep his cards. Look, out of everybody, I feel like he's the best at keeping his cards close to his vest. And if Dane wins the, if Adam doesn't win the veto, I feel like Dane's going to win the veto. And if Dane wins the veto, he gets to decide who gets the vote. And I feel like Anthony will be like, look, like I saved you last week, you know, like I don't want to be sitting on eviction. I don't want to be possibly evicted. And he may nominate him initially just to get rid of his never nom status. But I do feel like if Dane wins the veto, that he'll give Anthony the vote. He won't let anybody else have it. So if Anthony can keep his cards, but he like it may be a situation where Dane gives Anthony the vote, but Anthony doesn't vote the way he wants him to. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Can I also just briefly say that personally, I feel like once you hit Final Four, nomination doesn't count against you. I feel like that shouldn't
because you kind of like have to get
all down to competitions, yeah. Right? Like, I think that like being never nominated, based on your social game should exclude the Final Four on. That's how I personally feel. I feel like
Derek wasn't nominated till Final Three, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. That's silly. Yeah. I mean, like Final Four. Yeah, yeah. The Final Three doesn't count. I feel like Derek is considered never nominated. And
yeah, people do.
Yeah. I mean, if Anthony gets nominated after veto, then I feel like for sure it counts as never nominated. But, you know, if he gets nominated before veto, it's getting a little.
Yeah. Well, because it's like there could be an advantage to intentionally going up on the block first because it doesn't matter. Right. So it's like if Dan advocates for himself to be put up on the block at Final Four, because that's going to sell whatever plan he has cooked up better. I feel like it's not really, it's not the same thing as like getting
we're
nominated,
splitting hairs.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just something, a personal little,
personal thing for Taryn. I just, for the record, I do not agree. I feel like if Anthony is not nominated, you know, pre-veto or after veto, to me, he's like never nommed. It doesn't, even if he went up on the block initially and then comes down, it doesn't change. Like, I mean, I feel if you're sitting in the chairs, like they said in the chat, if you're sitting in the chairs before finale night, you've been nominated.
I do feel like something that might come into play this week, for Adam, at least, is, you know, because Dane is now HOH, he's got to be very calm about that little reveal that Mark gave at the end of what, as he was leaving, you know, he can't about the stand back door. He can't. Well, I mean, he has to be like, oh, Dane, it's cool. Don't worry about it. I have no hard feelings. Like, he can't. There can't really be a confrontation. There can't really be a, is that true? Like, it has to just kind of be like, oh.
Apparently there was a confrontation. Apparently that we didn't see everything that happened there. According to spoilers from people who attended the taping, Adam asked Dane if that was true, and it got moderately heated, not really heated, but there was like a, like, really, was that true? Did you do that kind of thing? But I don't think it's enough to disrupt this. Like,
was that before HOH?
Yes, before the HOH. Yeah. Like, it was right after, like after, right after Mark.
Like, never mind. I was,
As far as I remember from the taping, like, the way they do it is like they have the eviction, the person walks out the door, and then you get to see the house guest for another 2 or 3 minutes, like talking about, like, you know, the fallout from the vote. Mm-hmm. While the person who is being trucked over to the studio, because the house, unlike Big Brother US, is not at the studio. So like Mark's like being, you know, driven over to the studio. And they're still watching the fallout from what happened with Mark dropping that bomb in the middle of everybody.
Yes. So Dane as HOH here. There's definitely a possibility that they turn on Adam. But I think that they also recognize that Kira beat Adam in a mental competition, that Kira is just as capable of winning these competitions. And if I'm Dane, I probably, even if there is a blow up, feel better that Adam would take him to the end than Kira would take him to the end, because Kira is obviously completely in Anthony's pocket. So I do think that Dane will still probably side on the keeping Adam front, and Anthony's the one that, like, maybe it makes more sense for him to keep Kira around. But the problem is, if he keeps Kira over Adam, then it kind of opens the door. Anthony decided to betray the alliance first, and now when Dane has the option between Kira and Anthony, it's a very clear decision, and like, dude, you already started it, right? So I'm gonna take Kira. So I do think there is a line of reasoning that makes sense for them to keep Adam around. I do think they both are on board with that line of reasoning for right now. Of course, anything could change, but I do think we're likely looking at a Kira eviction here at Final Four.
Likely, although this, I feel like the Final Four veto is a lot more mental. Like, the final 3 HOH part 1, part 2, part 3 to me is always like a lot more physical. Like there's always a physical element to it. So I wouldn't bet on Kira for any of that. But final 4, I do feel like there's like, depending on the way the competition is, there is a chance that Kira could win. But I agree with you that I think we're looking at Adam or Dane as the final 4 veto winner here.
We'll see. Yes. Apparently it's a very big setup here for the final 4.
Oh, that doesn't sound good for Kira.
So it would not be a
doesn't
good
sound
thing.
Good for Anthony either. It sounds good for the hockey player and the lifeguard.
Yes. So and honestly, I do think that Adam has a great chance of winning if it is something big and physical. As long as he's not getting a ton, like. It's one thing to lose a question competition that involves speed. We have to know immediately to somebody else, but it's another thing to have like a physical competition where there are questions involved, where the answers are usually a lot easier than the question competition ones. It's usually just like a formality. As long as you know your stuff, you're probably right. Going to get them right. Right. And then it's just a matter of how fast can you do it without making mistakes. I do think that Adam has a very good chance of winning something like that, although of course Dane will put up a good fight. So it'll be very interesting, and it'll also be interesting because if Anthony does want to get rid of Kira over Adam, and Dane wins the veto, then and he keeps Anthony off the block, then Anthony will have to be the one to evict Kira, which could interfere with one of those locked votes. So it is not ideal for Anthony to be the one to evict Kira. So maybe that's what makes him decide he wants to go and evict Adam over Kira, but then he probably almost definitely loses Adam's vote at that point. So maybe he even advocates, you know what, make Adam do it. I trust him enough. And I do think Adam would do it. I think that Adam would evict Kira in that spot. So
that's tough.
But it's a tricky spot. Yeah,
that's tricky. I don't know if Anthony's going to do that or not. I feel like Anthony. I feel like there's a way for him to stay off the block, get the vote, be safe, and also keep Kira's vote by saying, look, I love you. You're great. But we had this thing from before, and, you know, I was not giving you the full picture before. I'm sorry for that. I feel like I feel like he would rather do that than sit on the block and with Adam casting the vote. I know Anthony, and I feel like that he's just not going to want to sit there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously
we probably should.
The ideal play, which is kind of what he got away with this time, is that he convinces Kira to still vote for him, even though he votes them out. That would be the ideal play. Is that possible, though? And is that worth the risk as well? I think probably the best explanation for Kira at that point is, you just made a move because it made it easier to take you to the final two. This move ensures that I get to the final two. Because if you're not here, they're both going to take me. And you got to.
Could you play?
And Anthony's really good at like pumping Kira up. Like you're a boss. Yeah.
Exactly.
Move, you know.
Right.
You
I was going to say, like, couldn't you have Anthony say, like, I don't think that there's any way I could beat you. You're so great. And you just made this big giant move to get Mark out. You put all the pretty boys up. Like, I can't beat you. And then wouldn't that kind of pump up your ego or their ego and make them think like, wow, he made the right move because I would have won, you know, and just I could see that being a good way to get them to vote for him.
It's definitely possible. I will say, though, I think that Kira is potentially one of those votes that's just impossible to get if you were the one to take them out. Some people are just like that, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And I think that might be the case with Kira. But we'll maybe find out.
We'll see.
So that's what we have. Final four heading into the final three. I think a lot of people are all on the same page about what we'd like to see happen in the final four heading into the final three, that we can get down to the strongest final three I think we've ever seen, at least on Big Brother Canada. And it's, you know, even though I do think it's Anthony's to win, it is still definitely up in the air to some extent. How Kira leaves will be very important as well, because if Kira leaves not feeling great about Anthony, then I think it's a lot more fluid again. I think that if Kira leaves being a potential vote for Dane or even Adam, which I think is less likely, then we are looking at something that is definitely more up in the air in terms of who could win that jury.
I feel like I agree with Arjun in the chat, which says that Kira's going to spoil your plans. I think it's just generally a good bet that Kira's going to spoil our plans for good fun, Taryn. So, yeah, we'll see.
That would be...
Not fun.
Yeah. I don't mean that Kira's going to win the final four veto. I mean, I think Kira might get their feelings butthurt if they get voted out by Anthony.
Well, yeah, I expect that.
The door. Okay, cool. Right.
And at least that's like, it's a little bit, you know, if Anthony can't handle Kira heading out the door, then
he can handle, he can handle them. Come on.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. But I think that's all we've got for you, unless there's anything else that we need to talk about here.
That's it.
Devra, Kira can't move fast enough to get to the bathroom, let alone win a timed veto. Oh, you made me laugh. Good job, Devra.
So see, this is the clip. This is the clip that gets thrown in our face when we're already feeling upset.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah, yep. That's good stuff.
All right.
I'm excited. We'll see. It's so funny here because like there's like three really like primo winners, and then there's a goat, and it's like they're gonna get out the goat, but yeah, they might actually get out the goat. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it actually kind of makes sense because it does sometimes make sense because people talk all the time. People are so afraid of the Cody move, of the like you need to take the goat. That is the way to do it always. But there is definitely value in taking out the goat to ensure your own place. I would say that like there are different situations. Like in this one, I think that it does make sense to take the goat out to some degree, because if you are the one that betrays the alliance first and then the goat is sitting there, that mentality right. gets into the other people's heads. Yep. But you know, in last season's case, when everyone was already taking Tyler to the end, that was the one where it was like, take the goat. This is also your showmance. You know, it goes both ways, but I feel like this way is sometimes overlooked, that people don't always recognize. This is the Serene move, is to take out the goat and become the new person that everyone takes to the end. And that's what Anthony is doing here. So we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see, I'm excited. Finish it. Sorry, what'd you say?
I said, I'm excited.
Oh, I'm excited too. I want to see if Anthony can finish, because I feel like he's played a great game, like from start to finish. Like I turned on the feeds week one, the first week that we had full feeds with Anthony deciding to flip the vote just because he could, just because he didn't like what someone said. And he made sure that it was a 5-5 tie. And every week after that, it's always been about, to me, it's always been about Anthony. Whatever he wanted is what generally happened. Obviously, he didn't get what he wanted during the Corey week, but that was a twist, and you know, the twist hurt him, and yet he's still here and still to me is a favorite to win the game. So I want to see if he can finish. It makes a difference whether or not you can finish. If you don't finish, you're just somebody who coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, you're a Janelle and she's a goddess, but she never won Big Brother. I want to see if Anthony can finish here.
Yeah, and like it just, it's such a burden off of my mind that like even if Anthony loses, he loses to somebody who's also a really great player. I feel like there's no truly bad outcome from this, as long as Kira doesn't win.
Yeah, I was gonna say there is a one bad outcome.
As long as it's that final three.
Yeah, as long as those guys are the final three, then there's no bad outcome. There is one other outcome that is
We're almost there.
So close. And we're so close. Honestly, like I would have been upset had Mark won. I would have been upset had Kira won. So I think we already got out one of those people. And now we just need to get one more out. And then I'll be happy and satisfied with any of those three guys winning.
Yes. All right. So that's what we have for you tonight. Like I said, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, I will be live to update you on everything that happens tonight on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then Sunday night, we'll be live to recap the next episode of Big Brother Canada 7 with Karen. And then Monday night, we were back to Mondays for the final up roundtable of the season. Of course, there will be one to wrap up the season afterward as well, but we will be live on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern to do the last roundtable of the season during the season. So that will be fun. We'll rate these players one last time before the season ends and talk about, I think the most interesting thing will be to try and predict all of the jury votes and see where they lie in this this hopefully interesting final three. So we'll do that on Monday night, and then Thursday night I will be live from Toronto after the finale, the 2-hour finale.
With all the tea, you're gonna have all the tea, Taryn. Yeah. What happens
exactly? So that'll be a lot of fun. And then of course Friday I will have the in-person video interviews, hopefully, of Ooh. The final three. So should be lots of fun heading your way. I feel bad for everyone that that tuned out of the season because they thought it was too boring earlier, because this is looking to be one for the history books. So
very exciting.
Yes. Thank you everyone for joining us. Like I said, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa with three of those A's. Thank you once more for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.